the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. Hello, and welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network. I'm Hope Gibbs, your host for the Truly Amazing Women TV show. We are here today with the founders of Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand, a community of little ladies and mini men who promote and instill the spirit of entrepreneurship for boys and girls in America. They empower them at an early age to become confident, self-reliant, and capable individuals, and their focus is to instill the joys of being creative, taking a risk, and finding a passion for kids 7 to 11. We're here today with Kylie Majkowski and her mom, Amanda Antico, who are the founders of this very cool organization. So welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Kylie, we're going to ask you the first question. Tell us about Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand and how you decided to come up with this very cool company.
Well, Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand is a company teaching kids entrepreneurship at early ages. We teach kids 7 to 11. And how we came up with it was, it originally was meant to be Lifty, and after that...
What did Lifty stand for?
Lifty stood for Little Ladies, there are two L's, Inventing Fun Through Entrepreneurship. So what we figured that we needed to go bigger and start including more people, so... We just started Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand. It was made the same way that we made Lifty. We were just sitting at a table. We came up with the name, and it kind of just took off from there. And, yeah, that's basically it.
And how old are you?
I am 9 years old.
So what do you think about entrepreneurship? What do you know about entrepreneurship?
Well, I know, like, I've learned the separate parts of entrepreneurship, like empathy, risk, passion, creativity. I've learned how to use those materials, and we learned all about the basics of starting a company, and we're starting and sort of getting into the details of that. So yeah.
Did you get to start a company during Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand?
Well, yeah.
And what was the company you formed called?
Well, we had two companies during our clubs so far. Well, the club that I was in, there was Fashion Fanatics, which was a designing club. It was our product company. And then there was Seasons Goods, which is our service company. It's like a yard work company. And so it's basically two companies in a company.
And you started Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand, it sounds like. So that's a big company.
Yeah.
That you and your mom run together.
So, like, there are two companies in the big Lemonade Stand.
Right.
Is the point of Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand to teach minipreneurs everywhere how to start their own company?
Mm-hmm. So we teach them the basics. We teach them their details. And then at the end, they actually do start a company. They make PowerPoints. It's really fun.
Do they have to make any money?
Oh, yes. We had this assignment where I think you had to earn $25 in any way you can. Some people sold lemonade. One of my friends, she made, like, this frame, and she sold those. Those were really cool. They're, like, some were mirrors, some were just frames. They were really cool. And, like, some people did, like, yard work. My other friend, like, she, like, did some lawn work for her neighbor. So, yeah, we had that assignment, and... We also have these fun games, like for empathy, we had walk in other people's shoes, which was like you had to, say, like everyone take off their shoes, they put a sticky note of somebody, so say one pair of shoes said blind person, so you have to take off your shoes and step into another one, and if you were a blind person, you have to walk around your area pretending to be blind, so yeah.
Cool. Okay, so tell us some more about the beginnings of the company.
So when we started Lifty, basically the names were all based on my dad's thoughts. So and then me and my mom, we just agreed. So when we started Lifty, he thought Little Lady, because that's his name, we got through it, and then we came up with the rest of the words. But for Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand, he was like, we have to do it. We have to make it something about a lemonade stand, because that's the first step through when you're doing entrepreneurial. So if you like, if you start a lemonade stand, you're on your path to being an entrepreneur. So then we tried our simplest way. We went to GoDaddy. So we wanted something with a lemonade stand, and we wanted like future lemonade stand or something, but that was already taken. So we tried tomorrow's lemonade stand. And then I kept like telling Mommy, I can't wait till tomorrow's lemonade stand, or when's tomorrow's lemonade stand going to start? And then people, like if I talked around to my friends, they're like, you're doing a lemonade stand tomorrow? I'm like, oh no, it's a company that I'm starting. So we basically, for some reason, we always come up with our starting ideas for our companies at the table.
That's true.
That's our famous table.
That's our famous table.
So, Amanda, tell us what your thoughts were in the beginning and what your ultimate goals for the company are.
Sure. So, in the beginning, Kylie and I were talking about what we wanted to do to teach entrepreneurship to little girls her age. Because when she started this, she was 7. And at that dinner table that night, she was only in 2nd grade at the time. Now she's a sassy 4th grader. But I was deeply concerned and continue to be concerned about the state of affairs of what goes on for children in their school day. They don't get a lot of exposure to creativity and risk and stuff that they're naturally inclined to do at that age. So I started poking around with Kylie and said, if we were going to do this company, how would we do it? What would we do? So after we came up with the names and did everything that, you know, we know how to do is to start a company, we started designing the program that now exists today. So we created a curriculum. We created the pilot group of girls at the time that would take the group. And we created an online badging system where the kids could all earn different badges and different abilities to say, yes, I've mastered this skill, I've mastered this craft. So I have an educational background. I have a doctorate in social entrepreneurship, so I care deeply about this stuff. I myself am an entrepreneur, so I'm very dedicated to the causes of entrepreneurship. And it was very important to me to take the natural curiosity of my daughter and now kind of my son as he goes into his ages, older ages, to teach these very basic skills to children where they don't get it at other points in their life.
So talk a little bit about the core curriculum and how the whole program works.
Yep. So, Kylie, I don't know if you want to chime in here, but we divided it into 3 seasons. And do you want to go back? Kylie is a graduate of our pilot program, so I'll see if she can go back in time and correct me. But in season 1, we have certified TLS leaders now who are familiar with all of our core values and our assets. So we consider ourselves to have 5 anchors: creativity, risk, passion, entrepreneurship, and empathy.
And in that, in the first season, we like learn the basics of it. We learn like how to, like we learn what positions, like what the some basic positions, like CFO, CEO, COO,
basic positions of a company.
Like the basic positions of a company, and we actually started that in our clubs.
Yep.
They decided who would be who.
Yep. So in season 1, we expose them to this concept. And again, we're dealing with children who are very young in age, but not young in their minds and their abilities. So the way they learn it is they go into a class that's about 1 hour to 1 hour and 15 minutes long in person. And then they get into an online programming where they get to go further and deeper as much as they want to. It is not required that you have to go through our badging program. As anybody who knows anything about entrepreneurship, the only person you're accountable to is yourself. So during the pilot club, some of our kids took their badges seriously and some of our kids didn't necessarily finish them. You were in the middle. So in season 1, they just get exposed to those concepts and we give them a lot of big terms. Yes, Kylie.
But what we also did with our badges, like our badges were, we had take a risk and write down how you felt about, we had like a website where we'd have to type down our risks.
Yep.
Like if we had, take a risk and then type how you felt about it and what was like your favorite part, like your major part of it. So we like, one of my friends, she said how she did a cartwheel for the first time and how she, like, she loved that feeling and she just made her want to do it again and again. So, yeah.
Yeah. So the way the program is structured is some of it is intellectual and academic, and then some of it is to get out their natural physical needs. So we have an hour and 15-minute class every week or so. They get something called Fun Break, which is by and far the kids' favorite stuff. There's 15 minutes of running around creating an activity that they get to do. And then they go into the system, and it's up to them if they want to earn that badge or not. What we try to do in the badging program is take them outside of what they would normally do at school. So, for example, we've got a team of about 25 entrepreneurs that are willing to talk to these kids, and they have to learn how to do a dialogue with a person. So, Kyla, do you remember when you talked to the entrepreneur in season one, what you did when you called Miss Miwa?
Yes. Well, my mom has plenty of friends that are entrepreneurs, so she selected some, and she said we could, like, call them and, or maybe email them.
Uh-huh.
We can call them or email them about what it's like. It's like an interview. We got to ask them, what's it like to be an entrepreneur? What's your favorite part? What's your least favorite part? Like, what do you think? That sort of stuff.
Yeah, and for a lot of these kids, they don't get exposed to really having a grown-up conversation of that level. And what we try to do is we try to push their envelope a little bit and get them out of their own comfort zones. Because what we're getting them ready for is a lot of work. So season one is the basics. Season two, Kylie jumped ahead a little bit. They actually started learning the terms of art. You know, what is a CMO? What is the CEO? In season two, because we say there's two kinds of companies. There's a product company. There's a service company. We give them a basic outline of a marketing plan. For the pilot club, they actually got to design a book that outlined what a business plan would look like. They went to a fancy shop in Georgetown called the Paper Source, and they outlined what their business plans would look like. And at the end of season two, the kids who are in the club together actually have to pitch each other. So before those two companies that Kylie mentioned actually got developed, Fashion Fanatics and Seasons Goods, the kids all voted on what idea each kid brought to the table, which one was the most interesting to them. So they start to learn early on the notion of competition and how to present their ideas. So season two is very heavy on the tactics of what is a business, how does it make money, what kind of person works at a business, why is it important to be solving a problem. So we focus throughout every element of our curriculum on problems and solutions. And when real life happens, we tackle it kind of head on. One of the things that we did during our pilot season was Hurricane Sandy hit the Northeast, and our kids got to really apply their entrepreneurship and empathy skills by doing what we call the Disaster Badge series. So do you remember that one?
Some of it, I came up with, like, these funky ideas. Like, since it was mostly in New Jersey and New York, I was like, in my crazy, one of my crazy modes. So I was thinking, oh, we could pile up a bunch of construction machines and lots of people into, since it was, like, getting close to the holidays, I think.
It was close to the holidays.
So if celebrated Christmas, it would be, like, there would be two of them. One would be what's it called?
Holly something.
For like, you. One, for the Christmas, it was Holly, and for the Hanukkah, it was...
Something about a dreidel, I think.
It wasn't a dreidel. It was, like, that eight-candle thing.
Menorah.
The menorah, yeah. And so what we did was, like, I was thinking, let's pile construction things and people in there, and let's ship it off to New Jersey and New York.
Yes.
That never really
that
happened.
Never actually happened.
But you get to be creative.
But they got to be creative about ways to help people who had been through a disaster. So we totally went off our curriculum at that point, and the kids got to really start to apply what they had learned about entrepreneurship and empathy to the people who had been a victim of the hurricane. Because then what they gear up for in season three is kind of the pinnacle of what we do, which is they actually create the company themselves. We like to joke around about how we're the Girl Scouts for the new economy or the Scouts for the new economy, but we make the cookies ourselves. The two companies that Kylie mentioned at the beginning of this interview were were actually companies that had to develop a product or deliver a service, and they had to charge real money and collect real money, and the kids learned a lot about what it takes to develop a business. And what you learned over that three-season period of time was we laid the foundation, we exposed them to the new skill sets, and then they go and do it. What I can say unequivocally is I knew all these kids all their lives, and I saw them do a 180. They were completely different, very confident children. Not that they weren't strong, independent people before they were a part of this program, but we can absolutely attest to the various activities they were exposed to in those 18 months that just really made them very different people. It was 18 months.
So you started with how many kids?
We started with
like 10.
About 10 or 11. We've had some changes. Yes?
Now we're like getting bigger, so we're starting like 7 clubs.
Yes, so now we're scaling, as we like to say. So what we needed to do, what we decided to do was when we saw it working was what should we do this more? As a parent, I thought this was the kind of thing my kid would probably do and be done with. And Kylie wanted to, make sure that we kept the work going, and I have committed to helping her. She's going to whisper something in my ear now. Yes.
And those clubs, those clubs are in DC, McLean, Vienna, Virginia, Arlington, Virginia, and Compton, California.
And Bethesda, Maryland.
And
also.
Now Bethesda.
And now
okay.
Bethesda. And we actually, over the weekend, we got called, my favorite call yet, I don't even know if Kylie knows about this, from Normal, Illinois. So a professor of entrepreneurship in Normal, Illinois is starting a club in about
a
week or two.
He's the one with the funny name.
He's the one with the funny name.
I thought he's kind of got a funny name, so why would he live in a town called Normal?
So we've gotten calls from about 40 parts of the country to start these. All word of mouth. We haven't done a lot of marketing. And what we tried to do when we started scaling was kind of stay local. And the reason we're doing both Normal and Compton aligns with our principles of being aligned with at-risk students. So that program is actually underwritten by the people at Hershey. And then this Normal person, who's from Normal, is talking about the ecosystem of an entire city getting behind this. So he actually had the mayor jump on board, and the mayor's already involved with the work that these kids will be doing. So we've had a lot of different requests from around the country, but we've been very strategic on who we actually will start this with. Because it does take a lot of hands-on activity and a lot of dedication from the leader who has to kind of stay dedicated to this cause with these kids. They have to have a lot of patience to deal with rambunctious children.
So your ultimate goal is to get these kids to come up with an idea, understand how a company works, take it online, make money doing it.
Yep. Well, and I don't even know if we would define success as students understanding what creativity, risk, and passion are before they hit middle school. Starting the business gives them all of those things, because what we want them to do is hold on to those skill sets throughout the rest of their lives. And we're slightly troubled by the fact that in school, you know, the majority of the mainstream has to sit in their classroom all day and do exactly as they're told. So this allows them at the most creative time in their lives to really be able to think big thoughts and be able to own something and have the pride of ownership very early on. So once and the other goal that we didn't realize was happening until it was over was the children got to learn how to work as a team. Mm-hmm. Kylie, I don't know if you want to comment on that, but once they're broken into their product company and their service company, they have to work together for about 10 weeks. And you guys would have to make some pretty big decisions.
Sometimes we argue, so sometimes there's like decisions where like some person thinks the exact opposite of that decision. We're like, so half the group's like, we want this decision. The other half's like, we want this decision. So we all have like our problems, and then sometimes we all agree, and then later on we figure out it's not that good of an idea. So we kind of do a lot of editing in our...
Yep. So it's a very iterative process, because what happens in season 3 is the leader actually steps out and becomes more of a facilitator and a coach. And the children who've been assigned, they each get a job title. So they're either a CEO, a CMO, a CFO, a VP of sales, that kind of thing. And they are charged with owning that part of the company. And when they have a problem, they have to work through it. And no adult is going to help them. So the early stage companies, we now have four companies that were developed underneath Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand. And they've each had their own little snafus, so to speak. So our goals are really to inspire these children to hold on to these lessons for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the virtual environment grows, we hope that the children will naturally find each other online in a very safe, secure environment where, it, for example, they figure out, I love art. And then all the art entrepreneurs in the world or art minipreneurs of the world can come together in their own little lemonade stand that's directed just for those kind of activities. Yes.
What if, like, one person likes a lot of things?
Well, then they can go into all of them. So, so what we've been learning in the pilot groups is some children have a very targeted path, and then other children do have multiple interests. But what we want to expose them to is as much depth of a subject that they care about. So as we develop more clubs and as we get more money for our virtual environment, we'll be able to go into some different academic curriculum that will expose them to different things.
All right, cool.
It was very fun.
So talk about the very beginning. What inspired you to come to create this incredible organization?
Yeah, it actually loops back to another person that I think you're featuring. Mm-hmm. Lou Ferrante and I were actually at an event in New York City in September, I believe, of 2011 or 12. And we were at this thing called Human Potential, which is an event run by The Economist. And I was distraught by a stat that I heard from the leader of Korn Ferry's Leadership Talent Group. And basically what she was saying was that at the age of 12, that most girls are able to do anything that they want. And that throughout the rest of their early stage lives, i.e. the end of school, into college years, into their first jobs, that number goes dramatically down to them believing that only five of those people can actually do anything that they want. And I was really heartbroken about that because I think a kid should be able to believe that they can do anything they want whenever they want to do that. So I continued the conversation with her about specifically why it was a girl problem, and there's a lot of theories on that. And then I started really diving down into it and thinking, this isn't a girl problem. This is a problem in general, where by not giving them this ability to think big and dream big and own something big, we were hurting the next generation of, and honestly, what we need in this country, because jobs are going to be few and far between when my children get up to that age. We need the spirit of entrepreneurship and innovation returned, where they feel empowered to do anything. So I was really inspired by that event. And at a personal level, the part of the story Kylie did not mention was I wanted to create a foundation related to my consulting practice. So I was going to call it The Gift, the Girls Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship. And that's when her father and her started. I wish you could see her face right now. Her face says it all.
Not so such a good idea.
That was a bad name.
I heard it, and I'm like, so we were on a train at that time, I think. And you're like, I was thinking of calling it Gift. Like, and then she said what it stands for. I'm like, I take one look at her, and I listen to that name once. And I go, yeah, no.
So my original name did not make it. Daddy is by and far the better name guy. And I really just wanted to give something back. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had no idea that we would be sitting on trains and planes creating curriculum. The curriculum is very generated by the children. Lots of car rides. I get an outline from the kids, and then we discuss what they want the activities to look like and what the quests are going to look like. And then from there, they give me all the feedback, if it's going to work for them, if they're going to be interested in it. So the curriculum really is built by the kids, and as I like to joke, I'm just the typist. I just happen to type faster than all these kids do. They use a lot of technology, but no one teaches them to type yet. So she can type on her mini, one word a minute. So as the curriculum got developed, we were constantly getting feedback from the pilot group so that it would be stuff they were interested in doing and stuff that would resonate and stick with them. So as we created the various sets of activities, we really, really understood that this was important and stuff that we needed to be doing more of and not less of. And now that we've graduated our first class, I think we're thinking about what we call our graduate program.
Which is it's got like either you can teach other kids what you've learned, or is it like you can learn more?
Or you can learn more, or you can keep launching your business.
Or you could keep launching your business.
So we help, like for example, we help the businesses design a logo and we help them get their marketing word out through some different services that we offer in the first set of classes. But then if they really want to go deeper, we're thinking about giving them mentors that they could work one-on-one with. I mean, there are 11-year-olds that make millions of dollars. I mean, that's a true statement. And if one of them comes out of TLS, we'll be very, very happy. So we are now in the meeting. Hopefully it'll be Kylie. So we are now in the process of developing the curriculum for the graduates. I would have never thought they needed to do more than start their own company, but apparently they do. Oh, yeah, they do. So when they graduate, they present their ideas to a group of entrepreneurs, and we kind of thought that was the age-all, be-all of it,
but apparently not.
So.
Well, very good. Well, we can't wait to see. Yes. So tell us a little. So what do you hope to get out of this, Kylie? What's your ultimate dream?
Okay. What I kind of wanted for it to happen is... I really have no idea where it's going to end up. I mean, we thought it was going to end at season 3, but now we're starting a graduate program. So really, I have no clue. All I know is that we're thinking bigger. What I want to come out of it is I want it to be a company that makes big bucks. But, it's like, I have no idea. I just want the kids in it to dream their own dreams, to have fun with it, and to do what they want. I just want them to be happy about it.
Very good.
I really am not expecting much. I mean, I've made it this far.
That's right. And Amanda, what's your ultimate goal?
To be bigger than the Scouts. To affect
my Girl Scout troop is not that bad. They do everything except sell cookies.
I love the Girl Scouts. I love the Boy Scouts. I think it's important, but I think there are millions of children who could be served by this program, and I would love to see it grow and grow and grow.
Very good. Very good. Well, we can't wait to keep up with Tomorrow's Lemonade Stand and see how it does evolve. I'm sure big, huge things will come from this mother-daughter team that is trying to change the world for young entrepreneurs.
Boom.
Boom. Big bang. Boom. This is the Incandescent Radio Network. These are the truly amazing women in the November issue of Be Incandescent magazine, and we look forward to sharing their story with all of our readers and listeners. Thank you very much for listening. We will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for having us.
All right. That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.